If you have your Bibles with you tonight, praise God, praise God, praise God. Hallelujah. You have your Bibles with you tonight. I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 6. Keep your finger right there at Matthew chapter 6. And I want you to turn with me. Stand with me for the reading of the Word tonight. I want you to turn with me to Isaiah 56 and 7. Isaiah 56 and verse 7. Isaiah 56 and 7. The Bible says, even them will I bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices shall be accepted upon mine altar. For mine house shall be called an house of prayer for all people. Praise the Lord. Father, Lord, I want to thank you for what you've already done in this house. God, I just want to tell you how much we appreciate what you've already done. Lord, I ask now for the next few moments, oh God, that Lord, you would just let the Holy Ghost continue to take over in this service. Let the Holy Ghost preach this word, Lord, tonight. And God, I pray that your mighty and awesome anointing would be upon every aspect of this service, God, as you have given it to me tonight. And Lord, I pray, God, that you would cause everything that we do in this house tonight, oh God, to be pleasing in your sight and to bring glory to your precious and your holy and mighty name. And everybody said, in Jesus' name, praise God, you can be seated. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, praise God, I want to talk to you tonight for just a few moments before we go to the next part of this service. I'm not going to be long-winded unless the Lord leads me that way. But we're going to let God have His way in this house. Praise the Lord. Y'all know me long enough to know that that's what we're going to do. Praise God. The Bible tells us that His house shall be called the house of prayer for all people. Church, I want us to understand and get a hold of this with everything we've got tonight. Understand this. Praise God. Everything begins and ends with prayer. Hallelujah. Everything must begin with prayer. Prayer is the key. Praise God. It is that connection, praise God, that we make with the Lord. It's our visitation, praise God. It is our time that we spend with the Lord. You know, tonight I started when I sang that beautiful song, Sweet Hour of Prayer. Really, and I'm going to stomp on a few feet tonight, praise God, that's all right. You need that as a pastor. That's my job as a pastor, to step on some toes from time to time. And sometimes, I tell you what, we do a whole lot better singing that song, Sweet Minute of Prayer, or Sweet 5 Minutes of Prayer, or Sweet 10 Minutes of Prayer. I need to check people's song books as they begin to sing that song, because we say sweet hour of prayer. Yet people have a hard time praying 5, 10, or 15 minutes, and they get up and they're ready to find a seat, sit down somewhere, and wait on everybody else to get through praying. That's not sufficient, church. Listen, remember the disciples when the Lord went to pray and He came back and He said, hey, could you not wait with me 1 hour? Where's that cricket sound when I need it? Church, I was going to preach a completely different message tonight, but God just put this on me and He said, this is what you're going to preach tonight. And so this is what I'm going to preach tonight. Listen, What happened right up there and what you felt out here, praise God, and what I felt up there at that pulpit, praise God, and what I feel out here when I'm preaching the Word of God. And you know, I don't never know how it's reaching people. I don't never know how it's touching people. You know, I want you to understand something. Man, my focus is not on any individual when I'm preaching this message or any message. My focus is on Him. My focus is on what I'm preaching and the Word of God. It's not on any person. I don't preach to a person. I preach to please the King. Hallelujah. I'm preaching as He gives it to me. I'm delivering it, praise God. And so it's not to any one person. Praise God. Now, I don't, but listen, we have got to be a house of prayer. We have got to be a praying church. We've got to be a praying church. I'm going to follow quickly through some scripture tonight because I have some other things in mind for, well, the Lord has some things in mind, and we're going to make sure we follow the Lord tonight. That little sampling we had right there was just a sampling of what we're about to get into. Praise God. But I tell you what, hallelujah. But I want to lay some ground here first. I want to lay some ground here first. Praise God. Now, praise God. What is prayer? What is prayer? Prayer is a connection that we make with God. Prayer is our communication with God. Prayer is making petitions known to a Lord. Prayer is things that we offer up in faith. Praise God, believing. Praise God that somebody up there's listening to what we're praying. If I didn't believe in God, why in the world would I pray? I wouldn't pray. What purpose is that? And we're praying to a living God. There's people out there spend more time in prayer than we do. And we're Christians serving a living God. I believe God's a little disappointed about that. When the people that I know are following Lucifer himself spend more time in prayer than we do, there's something wrong with that, church. There's a God that they call Allah. We know Him as Lucifer. And they stop 5 times a day and have prayer. And it don't matter where they're at. There don't nothing get in their way of prayer. They pattern their life around their prayer life. They don't pattern church and things like that around what they're doing. They pattern what they're doing around their prayer time. Period. I tell you another thing they do. You know, you can learn a lot from people. Another thing they do. Let me have that. I'll tell you something Christians do that you'll never see a true Muslim do. You'll never see them do that with the Quran. No way. They would behead somebody in their house if somebody did that with the Quran. They put them on a mantle. No lower. Now this is true Muslim stuff. No lower than their head. No lower than their head. Church, we know the God we serve is a prayer answering living God. When's the last time you really had, and I don't need lifting up a hands or anything like that, but just food for thought. When's the last time you really had a solid hour of prayer? Uninterrupted prayer. Now, at the end of service, I'm going to ask y'all to do something. Don't let me forget that. Don't let me forget. All right, now. Okay. What does the Bible say? All right. If there's one question, church, that we ought to be talking to God about, we ought to be asking Him, Lord, teach me to pray. We are to pray that often. Praise God. We are to pray that often. I ask the Lord a lot. And maybe you do too. And if you don't, it's a good thing to ask Him. I mean, listen, I heard somebody years ago do this, and I do it a lot. And ask the Lord to pray for me. Have any of you ever asked God to pray for you? I asked him to pray for me. Because the Bible said he was telling Peter, he said, the devil has desired to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you. Now let me tell you something. If there's anybody you want praying for you, if there's anybody that you want praying for you, it's the Lord. I pray God, because he has a pretty close connection with himself, I understand. Praise God. And there's a lot of times I'll come through the church and I say, Holy Ghost, pray for me. I won't know what that, Holy Ghost, pray for me. And boy, the Holy Ghost will take over and begin to pray through me, praise God, and for me, and praise God, I don't know what the Holy Ghost is asking, but whatever it is, it's right. Whatever it is, the Bible says he makes intercession for us, praise God. The Spirit knows, praise God. The Spirit knows. All right, let's look at some scriptures. Are we required to pray? Yes, we are. Now, I'm going to move quick. How many of you have a pen and paper? You're going to need pen and lots of paper tonight. Well, y'all going to have to really write these scriptures down in shorthand. I've got lots of paper and I've got lots of pens. Here's the pen bearer coming up now. And the paper, bring that typing paper. There's a whole stack of it right there. Praise God. Just pass it out. Give them two sets. I want everybody to have two pieces of paper. Praise God. Two pieces. Master, have your way tonight, Jesus. Love you, Lord. Appreciate you tonight. Have your way, Jesus. Anybody need a pen or paper? Praise God. You're going to need two sheets of paper. I want you to keep one sheet of paper off separate. Thank you, brother. Okay. Now, if you want, as I read these, if you want, you can write the scriptures down, or you can, some of these I won't be reading, and I will give you the scripture to everything I read, though, tonight, because it's all Bible, and I want you to know. These are very, very, it's a good study, too. This is a good study. This message is a good study. But I'm going to go through it pretty quickly, because I have some other things to do tonight. And I'm going to go through this message fairly quickly, so I want you to try to follow me closely if you can. Are we required to pray? Absolutely. If there's any doubt that fills your mind concerning the need and necessity of prayer, praise God, these scriptures should answer your question tonight. 1 Timothy 2:8 says, I will therefore that men pray everywhere. Okay, let's look at that for just a moment. He said, I will it. It's my will that, he said, I will that ye pray. I will it, therefore, that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and without doubting. Absolute keys. And he spake a parable. This is another one in Luke 18:1. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Matthew 6:9. Now, understand where we were at earlier, 6:5-15. He said, after this manner, pray ye. That is a very key scripture. And I want to stop there for just a second, and I want us to turn there. You had it in your Bibles a while ago. Matthew 6, and I want to briefly go through that. I'm going to go through it fairly quickly. So if you don't have it in your Bibles right there handy, just hang on, and I'm going to breeze through it pretty fast. Okay, here it is where the Lord is talking, telling, they said, teach us how to pray. And here the Lord said, okay, now this is a prayer. I know that a lot of churches use this as strictly just a prayer to recite. It's not a prayer to recite. He said, pray after this manner, pray ye. After this manner, pray ye, praise God. After this manner, verse 9, pray, therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Praise God. When you open up your prayer, the first thing you need to do is acknowledge God. He's given us a pattern, a template for prayer, and he's telling you this is how you approach God. He said, our Father, which art in heaven, praise God, high lifted up above us, praise God, hallowed be thy name. You know, the angels in heaven cry, holy, holy, holy is he that was and is and will be and is to come, praise God. See, listen, we need to acknowledge him. We need to hallow him, praise God, and exalt what? What are we exalting? His name, because it's his name. The name of Jesus is the power, praise God. That's where the power is in the name. All power in heaven and earth was given to that name, praise God, was given to Jesus. Now, okay, hallowed be thy name, praise God. Thy kingdom come. Okay, after you have acknowledged him, after you have exalted him and put him in his proper place, then high and lifted up, which brings you low, praise God, and exalts him. Then you say, then, okay, next what you do, he tells us that next what the thing we need to do is to thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, praise God. Submit your will to his will, praise God. You need to tell him, you need to pray according to his will, praise God. See, the Bible says that we ought not to, we don't know what tomorrow may bring. He said, so we ought not to say we're going to do this and that. He ought to say, if God wills it, praise God. We pray according to his will. How do we know what's according to his will? We pray according to the Bible. This is his will right here. This is his will. The Word of God is his will. We pray according to his Word, and we don't get outside the boundaries of his Word. This is the boundaries right here. So we pray according to his Word. Now, okay, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. In earth, it doesn't say on earth, it says in earth, as it is in heaven. Praise God. What is earth? We are made from the dust of the earth. We are earth. Thy will be done in earth, as it is in heaven, praise God. Now, then, once we have exalted him, acknowledged him, exalted his name, give honor to his name, praise God, then we have submitted ourselves, we've submitted our will to his will, and we have told and we have prayed that we want his will instead of our will. Thy will be done, praise God, in earth, in me, as it is in heaven, praise God. Then we are in proper position. Listen, approaching God always concerns your position. Praise God. You never exalt God on an eye level. You don't exalt the king at eye to eye level. If you did that and you can look back in the way that they approached the king, anytime somebody approached the king, praise God, you better not come up with your head high as he is. Praise God. He sat up in a high throne and there was always steps leading up to his throne. And if you came in and you were 6'10", you better get on your knees. You better not approach him at eye level. They'd cut your head off and burn your body. You don't approach a king on eye level. Praise God. You always make the king higher than you. Praise God. You exalt the king. Praise God. And so when you've got all those things in proper position, then you are prepared to ask what you will. Give us this day our daily bread. Praise God. Then you can make your petitions known before God in the prayer, in this prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. And he tells us also, he says, listen, and it says, forgive us our debts, or in here, let me see what it says in this one. Yes, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Now, the key word in this scripture right there, in that particular text right there, the key word is as. Forgive us our debts or trespasses as. That's the big word. That's the big 100-letter word right there. That's the big hinge right there that opens and closes the door. That's the hinge. That's the door that opens and closes whether or not you're going to be forgiven. Forgive us our debts as we forgive those that our debtors, or as we forgive those that trespass against us. He's telling you right there, and there's other scriptures we're going to look at in just a minute. That's one of the keys to the kingdom right there. That word as is one of the keys to the kingdom that unlocks or locks the door. You either get that key or you will not open that door. If you do not use that key, the door will not open. He said, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. In other words, if you don't forgive your debtors, remember there's other scriptures too. Mark 11:24 says, when you stand praying, if you have aught against any, forgive that your heavenly Father may forgive you your trespasses. For if you forgive not your brother this trespasses, then your Father in heaven will not forgive you your trespasses. Praise God. Understand that. So, you see, he says, okay, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And then, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Praise God. The Lord is not going to lead you into temptation. Bible says he can't be tempted with sin, neither tempteth he any man. He's not going to lead you into temptation. Now, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom. And then you close the prayer. Listen. You see how it begins and ends? Do you see how the book ends? The book ends to a heavenly meeting. The book ends to a heavenly meeting are Alpha and Omega. The book ends to a heavenly meeting is acknowledging Him as the Alpha and acknowledging Him as the Omega. Praise God. God, You're the beginning of my prayer. You're the beginning of my solution, God. You're the midst of my solution. You're the midst of my needs. You're the midst of my desire. And God, You are the ending to all things in my life. Praise God. My life begins with You and it is currently with You as I walk through this life. And Father, my life ends with You. Praise God. My world begins with Your power. Powerful, awesome name of Jesus. My world begins with You. Praise God. And exalted and high and lifted up. Praise God. And my life ends with Your exaltation. And so at the end of your prayer. Praise God. At the end of your prayer. He said, and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Look at verse 14. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Key scriptures there. Powerful stuff. So understand tonight, church. That was just a quick overture. That's a very long message actually in and of itself. The dissecting of the Lord's Prayer there and really digging into it. But praise God, that covers it. That's the short of it right there. Praise God. Now, let's continue on. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Praise God. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Next, in James 5:16, says the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I want to give you a little bit more on that right there. The Bible says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Effectual is from a Greek word that means to be active or efficient or to be mighty in. Fervency is heat or zeal. Availeth means forceful or can do or of strength and power. So the effectual or the effective, praise God, or the efficient, mighty prayer of or fervent is a hot or a zeal, praise God, a white hot prayer, praise God. Availeth much. It means it achieves much. Praise God. It means that it has much strength with God. It's very forceful. It's a forceful prayer. Praise God. With the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. When you begin to pray fervently. Praise God. There's been times, man, where I could feel the fervency. Praise God. In the room when I've been praying with the Lord. And I could just almost see the flames going. Man, it was just such a hot prayer going on with the Lord. I know you probably had those times yourself. And praise God. It's just something about that fervency sometimes you get into with God. And praise God. Hallelujah. I tell you what, church, the Lord is wanting so bad to do all the things that we need done. Praise God. And I just see God lining us up as pins in a cylinder on a key. Praise God. There is a key that God has stuck into the lock of this church. Praise God. And I tell you what, we are the pins. Praise God. We are the pins in the cylinder. Hallelujah. And He is lining us up with that key. Praise God. And when we get lined up, praise God, that cylinder will turn. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the blessings are going to pour into this place. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Woo. Hallelujah. Praise God. Romans 12 and 12 says, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation. Rejoicing in your hope and be patient in your tribulation. Boy, that's some things hard to do right there. I'm going to tell you right now. I tell you, that's hard to do. Y'all may have it mastered, but I'm going to tell you, that's a hard thing for me to do. It is hard to be patient in the midst of tribulation. But the Bible says the trying of your faith worketh patience. Oh, praise God. We need patience, church. I know we don't want to ever pray for that. I would never tell somebody pray for patience because, boy, God, you sure will give it to you. But He said the trying of your faith worketh patience. Praise God. He said rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, and continuing instant, praise God, in prayer. Hallelujah. Romans 12:12. Remember, over there where in Timothy, the Bible says, being instant in season, out of season. Praise God. Even when you're out of season, instantly being able to bear fruit. Instantly being able to be in prayer. Praise God. Instantly being prayerful, prayer-minded. Hallelujah. Instant in prayer. 1 Peter 4:7 says, but at the end of all things, but the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober. And watch unto prayer. Ephesians 6 and 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Praise God. Colossians 4. 2 and 3 says, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. With all praying also for us. Praise God. You know, here not too long ago, we had a sermon, and I believe everybody that's here was here during that time. Maybe not, but I think we were. But it was called The Fourth Watch. And, you know, the Bible talked about the disciples going out, and they went out in the boat, and it was during the fourth watch that Jesus prayed for them. And the other night, night before last, I was in bed, and 1:30 came around, and pow, man, my eyes flew open, and I just didn't know. I thought, man, what in the world am I doing awake at 1:30 in the morning? I laid there for a minute, boy, scripture started flying and scripture started going, and, you know, my head just began to get flooded with scriptures, and so, man, you know, you just finally just say, okay, God, all right, you know, okay. So I got up in here at 3 o'clock, 3:33. Lord does that to me a lot at 3:33 for some reason in the morning. 3:33, I got up and I came to the church and I got here in the church and praise God, and I didn't realize it till the next day, but He had me praying through the fourth watch, and that's the fourth watch. 3 to 6 in the morning is the fourth watch, and I didn't realize it till I was talking to Brother Draper the next day, and it was the fourth watch that I was praying in, but I prayed and I came in and prayed and did some studying, and God just began to give me some word, and so I spent most all, I went home for just about an hour or two after that, and after 6, and I came back and I spent the day at the church, and God was just giving me stuff. Boom, boom, boom. It was just one of those days that God was just really feeding me, you know. And I mean, it was just like, man, it was just coming and coming and coming. And I love that when God does that. And but you know, there's times, church, and I know you probably had the same thing, but I'm just going to say this in case you never have, or if you have, that you be mindful not to let it happen again. But listen, there are times of visitation. I want to tell you right now, there are times if I feel the Holy Ghost all over me. There's times of visitation that we miss. Sometimes it's because we busy ourselves, or sometimes it's because of our complacency. Sometimes it's because of laziness. I'm talking to me. I'm not pulling on somebody's apron strings out there and I'm pulling on somebody's shoulder out there. I'm talking to me too. There's times that God tried to give me a message and I wouldn't get up off my lazy behind and go write it down. And I tried to convince myself I was going to remember it. But God ain't going to let you remember it because He wants you to understand. Look, when I say get up, I mean get up. Listen, there's God has a timing for everything. And it ain't going to be your timing. I got news for you. His ways are so much higher than our ways. His thoughts and our thoughts. Who can know them? And so understand, you have to line up with Him. He don't line up with us. In every way. In every way. It ain't about us. It's all about Him, praise God. It ain't no way in the world He's going to line up with us. So we need to get out of that mentality, period. We need to line up with Him. Everything revolves around Jesus. And so when Daddy starts giving you a message or feeding you something and you're busy, stop what you're doing and get with what He's got going. God ain't going to call you at the wrong time. God is not the author of confusion. When He calls you, it's the right time. May not sit too well with you. I mean, I didn't want to get up a few times. I missed them messages that I can't never get back. And I mean, I missed them. And it's happened more than once. And I try to convince myself, oh, that's good. Oh, man, that's good. God, I ain't going to forget that. And He said, yeah, you will. Never mind. I'll give somebody else that healing message I was going to send you to somebody to the hospital with to raise them from the dead. I'll give that to some wino under the bridge down there because you didn't want to get up and listen to what I had to say. Who knows? I mean, you know. I just know that when, you know, it just seemed like, I know that had to be good because God took it back. You know, I know I missed something right there. And He'll make sure you know you missed something. See, when God says, hey, I want to talk. Go get with Him. When God says, I want to talk, go get with Him. Praise God. Don't let nobody, and it'll be inevitably, somebody will try to interrupt it or somebody will come. Don't do it. Don't allow that to happen in your lives. Draw the line. Say, not right now. I got something I got to do. Remember that. Praise God. All right, now. Jude 1:20. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Remember. That is only as the Spirit gives utterance. You don't turn that on and off. You pray in the Holy Ghost or speaking in tongues only comes as the Spirit gives the utterance. Praise God. Now, Matthew 9:38. Pray ye therefore that the Lord of the harvest, that He will send forth laborers into His harvest. Remember, the Bible said that the harvest is plenteous, and we know that to be true, but the laborers are few. Look around you. See? But I can tell you right now, man, I've been praying. I said, God, listen, Lord, I don't just want anybody. I don't just want anybody. God, I want people that have a love for the truth. I want people that have a love for working for the kingdom of God. I want people that don't mind getting up off their backside and doing some work for the Lord. I want people that take this serious, praise God, because we don't have time for games. We don't have time to play. This is serious. We are the last leg of the relay race, church. We are the last leg. And let me tell you right now, Kikaba Bashanda Labahaya, hallelujah. I want to tell you right now, church, we are the ones that's bringing it to the finish line. I'm telling you that just as sure as I'm standing here, praise God. You will see the rapture take place very soon if the Lord doesn't take you by way of the grave. I'm telling you. That's Bible, praise God. That is Bible, hallelujah. And I can show you in the Bible, praise God. And I can show you looking around that it's here, praise God. It's here. Hallelujah. Now, we being the last leg in this race, we being the ones that's going to take it to the finish line. Praise God. No doubt in my mind there are many that's sitting here right now that shall not see death until He comes. Praise God. Shall not see death till He comes. Some of these light bulbs in this room right here may still be burning when He gets here. May not ever change them again until he gets. I'm telling you, that's how soon it's coming. I'm telling you. Praise God. Because we are the last leg in this race, there's no margin for error. We've got to get, and that's why God is trying to build the foundation of this church. That's why it's such crucial. That's why it's so crucial that we lay aside every weight and sin that does so easy to beset us or somebody else. Praise God. That's why it's so crucial that we're careful with everything we do. We want to shine God's light in every way. Praise God. It's time to put off, praise God, the old man and take up the new. Praise God. It's time to put aside every weight. It's time to start shucking them aside. Praise God. If there's any attitude, if there's anything that you've ever had, and God knows how to deal with us on things. Church, if there's anything that you need to lay down, get it out. Praise God. Get it out. Get it away from your life. I believe we're on the preface. We're on the cusp. We're on the cutting edge. We're on the cutting edge, praise God, of such an anointing. We're on the edge of it. I can feel it. I can feel it, church. Listen. Man, I'm not concerned about numbers in this church. I'm not concerned about numbers in this church. Man, yeah, I need the Lord knows my financial situation. I'm not worried about my financial situation. God can do what He wants to do. But I tell you what I want. I want the power of God in my life. When I lay hands on somebody, I expect them to be healed, praise God. When I lay hands on somebody, I expect the anointing to fall. I expect them to be filled with the Holy Ghost, with speaking in tongues, praise God. I expect the glory of God to come down and manifest Himself in this house and these people, praise God. Church, I'm telling you right now, there's nothing in this life worth missing this anointing over. Nothing. There's nothing worth missing this anointing over. Praise God. Man, I don't want fame. I don't want fortune. I want Jesus. I don't want fame. I don't want fortune. Let me tell you something. I think it's important for me to look half decent. I believe it's important for me to look decent because I'm the pastor of the church and I ought to shine a good light for the Lord. But let me tell you something, church. I don't care about no $1,000 Armani suits. You couldn't run fast enough to give me one of them. I don't want it. I don't want it. I want to look clean and I want to look orderly, but I don't want to look like no $1 million. No, sir, I don't. I tell you right now, I want to shine God. I want to shine His light. When somebody walks in this church, I want them to walk in. I want them to feel something that they never felt before. I want them to feel something that they never... Oh, I want them to get a hold of something that they ain't getting somewhere else, praise God. It's important to me, church. God brought me here for a reason. Not to just make me a preacher. I was a preacher before I come here. He didn't bring me here for that. Man, I don't want nobody coming to this church because they want to help me. Don't ever get that in your head. I want you to come to this church to help you. I want you to come to this church because you're getting something here from God. That's why we should be in the house of God. Don't you worry about Travis. Don't you worry about Brother Hoffman up here. I'm going to make it. I'm going to make it all right. I want you to come and be fed of God. I want you to come and receive from the King. I want you to be here for the right reason. And I believe that you are. But I just want to reiterate that. It ain't about me. It's about Him, praise God. I want us to be in this house for the right reason. Because when we're here for the right reason, praise God, when we come, remember the lady with the issue of blood. She got what she came for because she came for it. She got what she came for. You understand? She came for something. She didn't come here. She didn't come to be seen. You hear these things. Want to be seen at the stockyard or want to be seen at the Astrodome or you want to be seen doing... No. She didn't come to be seen with Jesus. She came to see Jesus. She didn't come to be seen with Him. She didn't come to be, take my picture with Jesus. No, she came for something. And because she came for something and it was for the right thing, she got what she came for. Praise God. That's right, praise God. That's right. You got what you come for. You came here for something, and you got what you came for. Praise God. Hallelujah. See? Hallelujah. Now, church, I want to tell you, we're on that edge. We're on that edge. We're getting close. We may not be there yet, but we're getting close. I'm telling you, we're getting close. We're tapping in. We're tapping in. We're getting there. And I tell you what, there's a reason why Daddy stopped this sermon I had tonight and gave me this. And he said, no, this is it. This is what you're preaching tonight. Praise God. And, you know, and there's a reason why the Holy Ghost began to move. Praise God. Even in the worship service. Praise God. That's what I want. Hallelujah. That's what I want. Praise God. That's what I want. I don't want this to be an ordinary church. I want this to be an extraordinary house of God. I want this to be an extraordinary place where you can come and touch God. Hallelujah. I want people to talk about this little church like they talk about churches down in Florida have been having revival for 10, 15 years. Praise God. I want them to say, hey, you know what? I know I'm a little church, maybe a small one, but praise God, you can't even hardly get in the door. I mean, there's a waiting list to get in the house. Praise God. I mean, there's parking lots parked in a cow pasture. A cow pasture? Yeah, they had to move the cows out just to have a place to park the cars. Holy Ghost swinging from trees out there. Praise God. People standing outside, they got a loudspeaker on top of the building. That's what I'm talking about. Praise God. That's what I'm talking about. And I tell you what, church, you know, there's certain things that we're going to have to do, church, to get that. Oh, it comes with a price. It comes with a price. It comes with a price. I'm willing to lay it all down for Him. I tell you right now, I'm willing to lay it all down. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. Oh, they don't nobody in this world know what we're going through in this church tonight. Hallelujah. But would they be knocking the door down, getting in here? You'd hear brakes squealing out there and cars pulling up. Praise God. People be running in the door. Hallelujah. This message was for you. This message was for me. This message was for this church. This message is for God's people. He's raising up a people in this. He's raising up a church here. Praise God. He's raising up a people for an end time revival. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. There's a lot of people that think they got the Holy Ghost. They, let me tell you, boy, when they get a hold of what we got in this church, they're going to know. Man, I just thought I had the Holy Ghost. Woohoo! What was that? Praise God. I want to see a whole lot more of that. I want to see a whole lot more dancing and praising in the Spirit as the Spirit gives utterance and as the Spirit moves us. Praise God. I want this to be a church. Hallelujah. I want to tell you right now, church, you know, that and I don't know what your backgrounds are and all that kind of stuff, but I want to tell you this. You know, when I first started the prison service, man, I'm looking out. Of course, a bunch of them already knew me, but they ain't never seen me preach or nothing. I mean, just heard me preaching to them in their guilds in different places because I was there a long time before I finally got a service in there. I knew what God was going to do when we got a service. I knew what He was going to do. I was impatient. I was ready. I was wanting to go. Come on, come on, come on, God. Come on, come on, you know. But boy, when He finally did, look out. Whew. But I'm going to tell you, it wasn't easy. When I first started, man, there was people from every walk of life and people that didn't know nothing about the Holy Ghost, people that never heard about the Holy Ghost, people that heard about the Holy Ghost and thought we was crazy, people that didn't know nothing about praising and worshiping or lifting their hands or shouting to the Lord, a lot of people that were real reserved and just people that were just unlearned. And I tell you what, it took me a few services to get them lined out. But boy, once I got the majority of them, now there was still some, it took a while, but you know, once you get the majority rolling, it just seems like it is a tsunami. I mean, listen, the waves, just pick them up and carry them. I mean, listen, when you get the foundation of the church right, and that's what God's telling me. He said, when you get everybody right, you get enough people right in that church, praise God, then it don't matter what comes through the door. They'll line up with the majority of the people, praise God. They will follow what they see. That's what's so important about us being lined up with the Word and being in one mind and one accord. Praise God. I want the world to see we are different. Praise God. And I want us to be different in every way. I don't want us to just look different. I know churches where they look different and inside they're white as sepulchers, but inwards they're full of dead man's bones. I don't want that neither. Woo, I feel the Holy Ghost all over me tonight. Oh God, just preach it, Lord, how you want it. I want us to be all that. I want us to have it inside and outside. I want us to be the whole package. And when they come in this church, I want them to see the power of God move. Seeing is believing. Oh, you know, there's all kind of people that put on a show. Oh, but I want them to come and see it for real and see what it really looks like. To see somebody lit up with the Holy Ghost running across the aisles, running through the church, or dancing in the Spirit, praise God, or slain in the Spirit. I want them to see it for themselves and say, you know what? On TV, that didn't look real. But this looks real to me. There's a bunch of it on TV ain't real. I'm going to tell you right now. But I tell you, when they see them laying out in these aisles, they going to feel it. You can't be that close to it and not feel it. I mean, you're going to feel it. As a matter of fact, people that don't want to feel it, they're going to feel something that will run them out of here. God ain't going to let you stand in the midst. You're going to have to get in it or get out. You're going to either have to get in the glory or you're going to have to move on out. Because God ain't going to let you stand like that. He's not going to let something come in here quench your spirit. No, sir. Oh, I feel that Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord. Whew, I feel that. Oh, you just don't know how. Y'all, I tell you, boy, y'all don't know sometimes how God just, He just lights me up here, boy. He just says, yeah, you go ahead. You go ahead. I can feel when I'm in the glory. I can feel when I'm in His prayer. I can feel when I'm in His will. Praise God. I know when I'm preaching Daddy's will. Because He wraps His arms. It's just like He's holding. It's just like you ever have somebody just do your shoulders like that and God just said, go out of here. That's it. Right there. And God just maneuvers me around. Praise God. And that's what makes a pastor feel good. That's what makes a preacher feel good. When you know you're making Daddy happy and God's preaching the message. Praise God. Because when God preaches, it finds the mark. Praise God. It finds the mark. Hallelujah. 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 Woo. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. I love it when the Lord takes over. I love it when the Lord takes over the service. Hallelujah. Now, you see, church, when we get everything prepared like the Father wants it, like our Lord wants it to be, I believe we're right on the cusp of that. I can't even imagine what God's going to do. Do you know how many people we've invited to this church? Do you know how many people that have come to this church? You know how many people have called us and told us they've seen the church now and they see that there's people here and they're wanting to know what's going on? I believe that God is holding them back. I think He's just holding them back. Now, let me tell you. In this message, and I don't want to step on my other message either, because I'm going to preach that message, Lord willing. But I'm going to give you a little tidbit. That message is called, When God Removes the Fight in the Blessing. When God takes the fight out of the blessing. You know, there's a lot of things. To get that blessing, you got to go through the fight. But there's sometimes God removes the fight out of the blessing. Yes. He removes the fight out of the blessing. You know one way to get a fight out of the blessing? Sometimes you got to cut somebody or some things loose in your life. There are things that hinder us in our walk with God. And here comes the stinger. There's people that can cause us to lose blessings with God. Not because they're bad people. But things that are hindrances to our walk. These are things we have to consider in the kingdom of God. You have to be careful. You have to take an inventory of things and people that are around you all the time. And ask yourself, because remember, we're after the pure glory of God. without hindrance, without anything hindering. And so, I believe that the Lord is holding people away. I believe He's holding things back until He gets the structural foundation of the building, of this building project, lined up just like He wants. And He's got us all in one mind, in one accord, working in unison. Let me ask y'all something. Don't y'all like good harmony? I mean, isn't harmony good? No, I said harmony. I didn't say hominy. Lord, Lord, help her not working. If you're in hominy, but you're at church. But now see, we want that too. We want to work in unison as one. There's strength in numbers, church. When we're pulling together. When we're pulling together. God's architectural design is without flaw. And when God builds that building, when God builds this project, praise God, it's going to be ready. It's going to be ready to house God's people. We got to be pulling. We got to be singing in the same key. You ever heard somebody sing out of key? I mean, just, you know, kind of like it makes you get a twitch in your jaw, you know, kind of like somebody going down a chalkboard with their fingernails. Bless them, Lord. No, really, bless them, Lord. But there's something about singing in unison and singing in the same key, praise God. Hallelujah. Now, I'm not going to go no further with that, but I'll tell you what I'm going to do now. For all y'all out there in CD land, that's the end of the tape.